the coffee bar there. So if you are visiting, would you like to raise your hand? I'm watching, so none of the locals don't put up their hand. Paul, no? No, I see that hand. Anyone else that's visiting with us for the first time, would you like to raise your hands? We'd like to get you a little card and a cappuccino voucher. Ben, put your hand down. These guys will keep trying all the time, man. No one. Well, bring your friends, guys. Maybe they heard I was preaching, so I thought, let's stay away. Anyway, are the ushers here? We're going to come up and take up the offering. I want to find out. I hope. How many of you guys know why we give? Before we give, can we just come and stand and hold the bags? Why do we give? You can reply. Thanks to worship, Tracy. Thank you. We're giving. Yeah, the Bible says remember the poor. The Bible also says we return back to him what is his, right? So I wanted to, and the Bible also says it's blessed to give than to receive. I believe there's a blessing when we give. And I hope you forgive me, Grant. But I really had you, Bruce, to come and just pray for the finances this evening. Would you come and pray for it? I know we often, all of us, pray for, the pastors come up and pray for the finances, but I really see Grant stewarding his finances. I really see God's hand of favor on his finances. I know when he prays, can we grab the microphone there, please? When he prays that there'd be a blessing over the finances this evening. Because this isn't just about the pastors praying over the finances. This is our finances that we're returning to God. It's our finances that we're saying, Lord, have your way. And I just believe that Grant, that prophetically, Bree, when I was praying for this evening, Bree, that you're going to pray a prayer for the faith, that whatever happens with the finances this evening would multiply, and that the people that have sowed and the people would receive what you've got in your heart for them. Go for it, Bree.
Father God, we just come before you tonight. We know that every little bit of our finance that we get, Father God, we can stand up and we can say it was by our hands. But Father God, the truth is that it's yours.
Yes.
And every little bit that we bring tonight, Father God, we say, please, take this little bit that we have to get back and use it in your place, Father God. Mm. Use it in your house.
Yes.
Use it for the people that need it, Father God. Mm. We know that your hand is upon this church, and we know that the people that use this finance steward it well, Father God. So we just pray a blessing right now that as the finances come in, Lord God, we just know and trust with everything that we have inside of us, Lord, that it goes to the things that is building your house, Father God. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'd like to take up the offering. Thanks, Grant. If you can turn in your Bibles to John 15, verses 8. If you haven't brought your Bible, the guys will be putting it up on your screen. But I just feel we're going to stay in John 15. We're going to be doing a bit of an expository sermon this evening. And so you're not going to be thrashing up and down. You can feel rested. You're not going to be, if you don't know too many passages in the Bible, get to John. You'll be good. And we'll carry on from there. See, in John, right at the end, Jesus in verse 16, he says this one thing. And this thing challenged me spitless. He says this thing. He says, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Wow. Every ear here should be saying, well, what went before them? Because he says, if you do these things, and he spoke about these things, he says, then the Father will do whatever you ask in my name. So all of us should be sitting saying, well, is whatever you ask really whatever you ask, Lord? And where's the limit? Because if he says whatever you ask, there really is, it's like Jesus is saying, it's limitless. You ask, you will receive. If you do these things, then you can ask the Lord for anything in my name and you'll receive it. See, I went to Gateway with a couple of friends on Friday night. And I had Ronnie and Zanelli with me. And I said to Ronnie, this place is amazing. How much would be your limit to go and spend here? You know, like what would it be like? If someone said, listen, here's a check of 100,000 rand. Would that be your limit? And say, whew, I could just spend 100,000 rand. And, you know, then I could spend it here at Gateway. I mean, what is your limit? Think about it. I know the ladies are thinking of a higher figure than the guys, just because they've got a more capacity to be able to spend than the guys can. But, you know, what's your limit? I mean, you think about it, Gateway's got cars. So straight away, you're going into Nissan and saying, I'll have one of those. And that's already ching, ching, ching. Then where are you going to go to next? Are you going to go to the toy store for your kids, right? Yeah, you got to think of them too. And then what about, you know, there's so many places. The movies would be the last thing you go and do at Gateway. And then your final figure would be what? That's a scary, scary limit. The Flow Rider's included. The Flow Rider's included. Wow. Limitless resources. Now, if Jesus said that about the kingdom of God, he says then, whatever you ask for in my name, you will receive it. Let's get into John 15:8. Sorry, John 15:1. Let's start at John 15:1. Steve has been preaching in the last couple of weeks about bringing God glory, and that we revolve around God, reflecting His glory, and He in turn gives us things that surround us that fulfill our lives. But we, in essence, revolve around Him. He is the light, Alpha and Omega. He is the one, the true God, and we revolve our lives around Him. So Jesus says this: "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple." So here we are, showing God that we are Jesus' disciples, and we are bringing much glory to Him. See, what's the key there? Bearing fruit. I took my son to Pavilion yesterday, youngest one, and I bumped into Clyde. And so I'm trying to have a conversation with him. Kale says, "Daddy, movies." "Yes, my boy." "Daddy, movies, my boy. Ice Age hasn't come out yet. Those are the movies there that you can watch, and they're rubbish. It's not good to watch." "Okay, got it. Yes, Daddy." 2 minutes later, "Daddy, movies." "Kale, all these movies here aren't out yet." "Okay, Daddy." Not even a couple of seconds later, "Daddy, movies." Just thinking of this sermon I'm preparing. "Fruit, Lord, fruit, Lord, fruit." Eventually I said, "Clyde, listen, let's go, because this is going to get ugly. So come, my boy, let's go." We went to go and have a coffee. I said, "Listen, we're going to go for a bit of adventure golf. Let's go down." And as we walk past on the way to adventure golf, "Daddy, movies." "Oh, my boy, there's no movies here today for you, nothing." "Okay, Daddy." And I realize I get to adventure golf and I realize, I forgot to draw money. Now I just know I'm going to have to walk past the movies again. You know what happens? "Daddy, movies." "You say that one more time. I've told you. There's no movies today for you. Adventure golf, you had milkshake, it's enough. Okay, Daddy, come back." "Daddy, what is it?" "Two things. One, adventure golf." I was like, "Oh, great, he's got it. He's finally got it. He's nothing there mentioned." "Two, you know what the rest is." My fruit was about to leave the tree completely. You know, you can say certain things. Like, I was playing adventure golf with him, and I said, "My boy, you do that again, I'm going to take you out." Now, to me, it means I'm going to take him out of adventure golf. But to all the other parents around, they're like, "Whoa. So you abuse your child. What's up with that, you know?" Now, I mean, I meant I'm going to take him out. "My boy, stop that now." But kids have got a great way of really testing our fruit. Only the parents, you all know what I'm talking about. The rest of you are kids. Your parents will tell you what that's about. John 15:1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Wow, what a passage. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." I'm going to be doing a bit of an illustration of it later on with some of those plants there. So I feel sorry, Taryn. I know this is going to traumatize you when you see me going at the plants, but bear with me, it's really for God's kingdom. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." So let's just stop right there. If He is the vine and we are the branches, where is that branch that He just spoke about? Who is it? Where's that branch? In Him. So this branch was already in Jesus Christ, but wasn't bearing any fruit. And so what does He do? Why do they give us such small little nozzles? That's much better. that cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that he does, that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So let's go over here. This is the vine. And who's the gardener? The Father. Here he is. He's busy pruning, pulling off some things that are already fruitful, but some things are a little bit dead. This one here, it's completely dead, so it's bearing no fruit. I'm just going to... We'll get back to this guy later on. But for everything else, he says, no, this is all bearing fruit, but I'm just going to prune it a bit. And he starts pruning, taking off some of the... Why does he do that? Why does he prune? To bear more fruit. So what does the pruning mean in our lives? What is the pruning in your life? Remember, we're revolving around God, and as we revolve around God, he puts things around us. Sometimes he might take away one of those things. Maybe he'll shake some of those things. Marriages. Maybe you've revolved a bit away from God, and your marriage or your family is revolving around you. And he'll shake that. Because the Bible says that anything that can be shaken will be shaken. So when he says he's pruning, he actually says, you're bearing fruit because you're revolving around me. You're in me. So we're revolving around him. But as he does that, he's going to prune so we can bear more fruit. So he prunes us. It goes on to say, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Wow. Jesus just spoke the word to them and they were clean. But I thought Jesus had to die on the cross for the forgiveness of sin so that they could be clean. But he's already just told them. Now what? Can we bring that scripture back up there? He says, you are already clean because of the word I spoke to you. How can that be? I mean, is it even possible yet? I mean, did Jesus... Because I thought that only when Jesus died on the cross did power come. Then he had... Did Jesus have power over death only after he was resurrected? No. He had power over death before he went to the cross because he called Lazarus out. So he even had authority over death before he went to the cross. See, Jesus is known as the Word. Here was the author of all life, standing before his disciples and saying, you're already clean because I am the Word, the author of all life, speaking life to you, and because I've spoken to you, you are clean. He says, you're already clean because of this Word that I've spoken to you. And so these people are sitting here, haven't quite comprehended that just by receiving this Word that Jesus has spoken to them, they are clean. He was the Word made flesh. Here was the Word made flesh speaking the word of life into them. No wonder the author of life, because Jesus was around at the creation. Nothing was created without him. Here is the author of all life. No wonder death couldn't hold him. The author of life gets into death and death can't hold him because this is the author of life, the creator of all things. Death not able to hold on to him. He says to them, remain in me and I will remain in you. Now this is very important. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Who's, according to the scripture there, whose responsibility is it to remain? That's right. It's not my responsibility to make sure that you're still serving Jesus passionately, they're still loving him. It's not your friends, your moms, your dads, your pastor, your cell leader. That's right, Sean. It's your responsibility to remain in him. He says, if you remain in me, then I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This poor guy. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, here we go. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. He's already halfway there. He's thrown away and withers. Now remember, this branch was in Jesus, right? Was in Jesus Christ. He says, this branch that bears no fruit gets thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and what? Thrown into the fire and burned. Did you just read what I read? This isn't a heavy, this is the Word of God. It sounds like it's not just good enough to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, but it sounds like, according to that scripture, that you also have to remain in Him. Doesn't that passage remind you of, in Revelations, you have forsaken your first love. Careful that I don't take away your lampstand. He's speaking to a church. But in essence, there's a thing of believing and remaining in Him. What was the repercussion, according to this verse, of not remaining in Jesus? You see it before you here. If you remain in me and my words, believe me, this is getting better. This is actually just the premise of where we're going with this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is the first time it pops up. He says, remain in me and I'll remain in you. And then you can ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I've prayed for some people over the past couple of months, and I've seen stuff. There was a gentleman that came here. I brought it in a testimony form last week about the guy that he had a brace. He had been stabbed in his neck. His nerves in his neck had been severed, and he'd lost growth in his muscle, movement in his muscle in his leg. And as I started to pray for him, I saw literally just something of God happening, where he started to move where there was no muscles there for him to move. And he said he could start to feel strength in his leg, which he had never felt before. I've seen stuff happen over the last couple of months where, I don't think he was here this morning, he's not here now, Ayunda, came through, he had a leg swollen. I mean, like he couldn't tie, he could barely fit into his shoes, but his legs, calves were absolutely swollen. We prayed for him. He was in excruciating pain. Prayed for him. Then the pain left immediately. And over the next couple of days, the swelling completely went away. I mean, he couldn't even, he had to sit down after a couple of minutes because the pain was so bad in his body. And I sat there I'm starting to say, God, why are you manifesting in ways that I can see happening in front of me here that I've never experienced before? And he said this one simple thing. It's because you have believed my word about grace, and you have obeyed my commands. And Dave mentioned this during a time of communion, that we are righteous, not because of our own deeds, our own actions. How many of you guys feel like you're worthy right now, qualified, with full confidence, overflowing confidence, to come and pray for someone that's in a wheelchair right now? Overflowing of confidence. Not too many hands go up. Why is it? Is it not because we disqualify ourselves because we look inside and we see some things that we don't like, and we think that disqualifies us? Where God looks inside and He sees Jesus. He sees you absolutely sinless. When Jesus said you just even look at someone, there you've committed adultery. So He raised the bar. He says, look, if you just, in your mind, if you're sinning, you've still fallen short of the glory of God. But the cross of Jesus Christ has qualified us that we don't have to feel like, I haven't prayed enough, Lord. I haven't got into my Bible as much, Lord. I'm not worthy because of the things I've done, Lord, and said, Lord, and the fruit's fallen off the tree, and we think that our fruit is dependent on whether God can work through us or not. And we've missed the plot. This passage of Scripture says, if you obey my commands, and we start thinking, well, I've looked lustfully, I've had someone with hatred, so that's committing murder, and you start thinking of all the Old Testament commands. I want to put your handbrake up on your spiritual eyes right now and say, let's stand and have a look at the Scripture. Because you're going to see that the commands that qualify you are so much easier. And they're not disqualifying you, they're qualifying you. Let's have a look here. Jesus is speaking about his commands. So what was his commands? Do you guys know? Let's go. 15:11. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We're coming up to his commands now. So Jesus is preparing a way here for you to start to get an idea of, hang on, if this command is so easy, what is it? But he's saying, this joy that I've got may be in you and your joy may be complete. How many of your joy is complete tonight? Ooh. What is your joy? I went through Pavilion the other day. I saw some slightly oversized people trying to sell Virgin Active contracts. Don't laugh. Bridget, if she was here, would say, I'm in shape, rounds are shape. Only like Bridget could. But I thought, do these people really believe what they're selling? Or is it just something that I have to do because I have to do? And us as Christians, we do witnessing and we do everything else because we think that that's what we do, what we have to do, but we don't really, really, in our heart of hearts, in the darkest place that you can find, really believe that you can bear much fruit like Jesus said. Do we really believe that what we're selling is worthwhile? We start saying things like, really, God, as I'm revolving around you, let me just get this job, really, God, and that'll be enough. Another thing might be, Lord, just really let me get this relationship. And then my joy may be complete. Then it's enough. Lord, let me just get this, if you're a girl, these pair of shoes. Have you not seen the leather and the shape? Lord, my joy would be complete. Just let me get these shoes. And all those little things that revolve around us, we try and fill that joy. But it's not making us complete. After all, Lord, you did such a good job of making all of these things. Give me all of these things, Lord, and my joy may be complete. Jesus' joy was different. His joy was seeing people restored. Have you seen the joy on someone's face when their hand that was full of leprosy gets healed? Have you seen the joy on someone's face when someone walks out of ICU that was on their deathbed, raised up? Have you seen the joy on someone's face when you go into a morgue and the people that they have just mourned has come to greet them and say, I'm back again? Tell me that's a different joy. That's the joy that Jesus is talking about, saying, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The next verse holds our key. Here we go. Here's your command. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Wow. I don't know about you, I just felt the anointing of God right now. Love each other as I have loved you. Is that doable? Can we really focus as the only command that Jesus, well, the command that Jesus has given us in his command there, saying, love each other. It's not about what I'm thinking, Lord, or I haven't prayed enough, Lord, or I haven't read my Bible enough, Lord, or the fruit has fallen off, Lord, or the other things that disqualify me as the commands we thought and hold in our heart as disqualifying us. The command that he gives us on this side is love. Love. When I was praying for this man, I said, Lord, show me what this man must go through every day. The guy that had his nerves severed. And I just felt this overwhelming compassion for the trauma that he might be going through. Day after day after day after day after day after day after day. And the love for him grew. I mean, I was holding him in my arms like my own son. And out of that love, I started to pray for him, knowing that I have full confidence that God is going to do what I ask of him, because I'm holding to his command, which is love. Saying, Lord, this is your command that you've given me. I'm standing on it in full confidence, not because of what I've done, because of everything that you've done. God cannot be more happier with you than he is right now, because of your belief that Jesus died for you and that you are remaining in him. He is overwhelmed with you. He delights in you. You don't have to do this much more to make God smile any more than he already is. He is fully pleased with you right now. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. So let's just remind me again, what did he command us to do? Did he say, go and bear much fruit? That was his command. Did he say, go and read your Bible? That is my command. Did he say, go and what did he just tell us? Go and love. Go and love. Why do we get this wrong all the time? We feel like we have to try harder, do harder, give up more, strive, suffer, before we can experience God and the joy that he spoke about. John 15:15, he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Let's put the handbrake up. What exactly is everything? Everything is? You can say it. Everything is? Everything. Did Jesus just say that? Think about what he just said. He said, everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So Jesus wasn't going to the cross with a couple of hidden secrets like, and if they find this thing out, that's going to be a cracker. Better keep that one safe for when I come back. Not. He just said that everything he has learned from his Father, he has made known to us. So, if that's the case, then everything we need to move mountains, walk on water, raise the dead, heal the sick, drive out demons, and the like, is not at a distance, but it's at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus isn't one that he should lie. Did Jesus really live his life making known to us everything that what was revealed to him? If he was really getting and keeping more of us, then why didn't the devil recognize him as the Son of God? Matthew 4, the devil says, if you are the Son of God, then this. If you are this, during his temptation. If you are the Son of God, Jesus was sinless. Because Jesus was operating in his gifts as fully man, he was modeling for us what was possible for all of us. Not just for Jesus, that was Jesus. He's saying, everything that I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you. No secrets, open hands, everything that you've seen here is yours to do. John 15:16. Then he repeats the same thing again. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Whatever you ask? So my question to you tonight is, why have you not received what you've asked for? Why don't we see people raising the dead, healing the sick, like in Jesus' day? Why don't we see people asking God for anything and God giving it to them? Because he just said there, then the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. I'd put it to you this. We believe in Jesus. We remain in him. We remain in him. we love one another. We love God. By loving God, we remain in Him. And then the scripture finishes off by saying, you've done all of what I've just told you now. Then you can ask the Father for whatever you want. Whatever you want in my name, and it will be given to you. I'm not putting false hope into you. I'm saying, according to your faith of what you have just read in the Word, stand on it. Last week we said, if there's any opportunities for testimonies, bring them. I really feel for this group of people here, there is going to be an outbreak of signs and wonders, second that you have never seen in your own life. But it's going to require you believe in Him, you remain in Him. You love. Does it mean love one another as in just these four walls? Or does it truly mean when you get into your workplace and you're going to have to stand up in front of everyone and cast out a demonic spirit that's manifesting? And people say, oh, it could be this, or it could be that. Some biological, chemical term. But God's shown you this demonic spirit here. That you're going to have to love that person that's stuck behind this demonic manifestation. You're going to have to love them. Love them enough to count your life as nothing. And stand up and rebuke it. And watch the hand of God confirm that He said, whatever you ask for in my name, I will do it for you. How many of you guys feel an anointing for that right now, for this week? Put up your hands. As those, just enough. Come to the front right now. Come to the front right now. There's a couple more people that wish they had. You can come too. Believe in His Word. Raise your hands until you feel the anointing of God. Lord, we stand on the simplicity of Your Word, and we do not believe, Lord, that You're one that You should lie. Lord, I pray for an outpouring of Your Spirit, Lord, to first of all heal our minds, Lord, that where we have thought that it's about what we do and what condition our hearts and bodies and minds are in, Lord God, would You come and settle that right now, that it's the grace of Jesus Christ that qualifies us to do what You have called us to do. Lord, where we have thought that the commandments that You have given us, Lord, are the Ten Commandments, and that, Lord, that we are not measuring up. Lord, that Your commandment to us is that we remain in You and that we love one another. Lord, would You just right now by Your Spirit, Lord, stir up these people's hearts for more love. Overflowing love, Lord. Overflowing love, Lord. Overflowing love, Lord. A real sense that there's some people that are still sitting down that are feeling the presence of God, and God's been asking you to get up and move here. Don't miss out. Your joy will be complete when you see the Lord moving through you, just as Jesus did. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us with Your love, Lord. Breathe Your Spirit upon us. Fill us up, Lord, with Your love, with Your love, with Your love. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Lord, I pray for a double portion of Your anointing, Lord God, for these people that are standing here. Lord, of boldness, of love, I pray, Lord, that You would anoint them with gifts, prophetic gifts, words of knowledge, healing gifts, gifts of discernment, gifts of power, Lord. Anoint them with power gifts, Lord. supernatural gifts, Lord, that only You can bring. Lord, every person here, Lord, we want to see next week come through and give a testimony of the great things You have done for Your glory, Lord. For Your glory, Lord. Lord, we come to rebuke the lying attacks of the enemy that says that we are not qualified. The grace of Jesus Christ is upon us. We are washed white as snow because of what Jesus has done. Lord, let them look up now in the heavens and see You smiling upon them. Not because of their action to come forward, Lord, but because of the full finished action of Jesus Christ. More, Lord. More power, Lord. More love, Lord. If you feel an anointing, would you turn around and pray for those that are still seated? Pray for everyone in this church. Lord, we pray, Lord, for every chair that has been filled today, for those that have come in the morning service. For the people that are here in the front, if you feel anointing, turn around and just pray for every chair, because it represents one person, at least one person in this church. Lord, that they would receive Your anointing spirit to come upon them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that the truth of the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ would come upon their hearts and set them free from every bondage and lie of the enemy. Lord, that they would learn to love You and remain in You, Lord God. Lord, every person here, would they receive a portion of Your love, of Your power, of Your grace. Lord, for the some people, Lord, that have experienced this cry out of boldness, Lord God, would boldness come upon them? Would boldness come upon them, Lord? Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. And He has anointed you to set free the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to bind up the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you.
Lord, you have said that wherever we put our feet, there you have given us that domain. As each and every one of us, Lord, tonight leaves, give us a revelation, Lord, of your word and your truth into our hearts, and claim that which you have given us, Lord. And Lord, for every person here, I pray, Lord, that their joy may be complete by asking bold asks of you. Bold asks of you. For you, Lord God, have all power, have all authority, and all dominion. We serve a mighty God. Lord, let our lives show how glorious you are. We want to reflect your glory, Lord. We want to reflect your glory, Lord. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Well, we just want to say, we will remain in you, and we love you. And we bless you, Lord. Your children gather tonight to bless you. Alpha and Omega, author of life, the living word. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go and change the world. Go and change the world. For those, we got coffee, tea, some snacks, and love one another. Amen.